Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. That's right, the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm here, Eric Horn, in Minneapolis, the great city, after a Thunder loss. I believe the score was 119-116 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Thunder's getting in a good habit of losing to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Second time this week that they've lost on the last couple of possessions. And joining me tonight is ESPN.com writer Nick Friedell. Nick?
E, it's good to be with you. You got the pipes, man.
I got the pipes.
You got the pipes?
Dude, you're like the white Barry White. Okay? Like, every time I hear you on TV or the radio, I'm like, holy, you know, expletives. But like, I'm like, man, people tell me I have a deep voice. Nick Friedell has a deep voice.
You want to know a good story? The first year I started on the Bulls beat.
Okay.
Stacey King, who is the analyst on the television broadcast, we hadn't been formally introduced yet, and I was on the radio, and Stacey says, Nick, man, before I had come up to introduce myself, he's like, I was listening. He's like, and then you walked up and you said hello. He's like, I thought you were a brother, man. I thought you were a brother. And like Mike Wright, who is a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, he said he was driving his car. He almost pulled off the road. He was laughing so hard. So, hey, we're doing what we can do. Late night Minneapolis here.
Dude, you know, you've probably gotten that so many times. And every time I hear your voice, I'm like, I can't believe that comes out of Nick's mouth, man. That is incredible. That is incredible. But it's got to earn you credibility in the locker room. It's got to, right? It's got to earn you a little bit of credibility.
Well, tonight, actually, as soon as I opened my mouth, Tibbs, who of course I covered in Chicago for his 5-year tenure, he was in such a gleeful mood, and people hear that and say, Tom Thibodeau was happy? Yes, he was very happy after this one. But anytime I open my mouth, he just starts laughing. So I think the next time he starts doing that, I'm going to come back at him with the I'm gonna out Tibbs, and we'll see where we go from there.
You're going to be basically on the same road trips I am for the next two games. Mm-hmm. You're going to be going to Chicago. You're going to be going to Milwaukee. I guess this is your first time seeing the Thunder in person this year. I mean, what are your impressions of the Westbrook, Melo, Paul George experiment?
It's a hell of a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I am envious of you getting to see it night after night because, Russell Westbrook, as far as I'm concerned, would be the guy I would pay to watch. If I were ranking players who I would want to go to the arena to see, I'd pay to watch Russ first. And then on a personal level, I've seen and watched Carmelo since I was a freshman at Syracuse in 2003, and they won it all. So seeing him in this environment is pretty cool. And then, oh, by the way, there's Paul George.
Yeah.
And you go, whoa, this team's got a lot of star power. So in watching them, I don't have any doubt that once they start to play together, if they can all stay healthy, that they're going to be right there in the end. Now, does that mean they get to the Western Conference Finals? Does that mean that they can win a round or two? We'll see. My fear in watching them now, though, is where's the other help going to come from?
Right.
And I know that's something that Thunder fans are concerned about and, frankly, have been the last couple of years after KD left. But when you watch them, there is so much potential for this kind of team to make some real noise in the postseason because they have so many guys who have shown over time that they can take and make those big shots in the end.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a continual theme throughout the year. Where's that next guy coming from, whether it's Steven Adams consistently, whether, you know, they're keeping that 14th roster spot, that 15th roster spot open so they can possibly get a buyout guy later in the season, mm-hmm. or they can pull off a trade and wind up getting somebody who can, you know, strengthen that bench unit, that second unit a little bit more. We've seen a little bit so far of Raymond Felton, who's actually played pretty much, I think he's played above the expectations that Thunder fans have had for him so far. Raymond Felton's been really good. But it's going to be a continual thing for me to see what the next step is. And I don't think that a lot of people had that in mind at first because you were just so elated that you had this trio of stars. But in order to be a championship team, you're going to need some more contributions consistently from some other guys. I think you're seeing that a little from Jeremy Grant. Mm-hmm. You see sprinkles of it from mm-hmm. Raymond Felton. But you need a little bit more to kind of complement that second unit and to pair with those guys.
And to your point, what you see over the course of the season is those guys rise to the occasion night after night.
Yeah.
The Jeremy Grants, potentially, who can do it repeatedly. Those are the guys that you lean on. But it's interesting for me, having watched how the Bulls front office has taken so many hits over time. I'm watching Sam Presti walk around before the game, and I'm going, this guy always finds a way to get something done.
Yeah.
So when you're mentioning that, you know, they've got that 14th roster spot open, and there's always time before the deadline to make something happen. As far as executives go who make something out of nothing, I would trust in that guy time and time again to find some other piece. And time will tell as the season plays out exactly what they're going to need. But his track record very clearly shows that he will make something happen, and usually he'll leave the other team wondering what just happened after the deal goes down.
A lot of interesting things within this game to talk about. Wanted to start from the back and then go to the beginning. We'll start with the back with the final kind of few minutes for the Thunder, final mm-hmm. possession. You know, it's been a big talking point throughout the season about just through the early season, how the shots are going to be distributed, what's going to happen in the fourth quarter, because Russell Westbrook was such a dominant fourth quarter player last season, mostly by necessity, because he just didn't have the firepower around him.
Right.
He got an opportunity tonight at a look that he would have taken last season. It was that right wing three-pointer. You know, defender was sagged off him a little bit, actually sagged a little bit more toward Melo, toward the top of the three-point line. Russell would have jacked that last year. He did jack that last year, and he made it. A couple of times he made it in Dallas and he made it in Orlando within the last couple of weeks of the season to send games to overtime. Tonight he didn't. He passed off to Melo and he kind of circled around him and Melo went back the other way and Melo had to take a contested three-pointer. So, you know, the question after the game is, Russell, is that what you wanted? He said Melo was open. He took the shot. Well, Russell was actually a little bit more open than Melo was. But through these first five games, I think you've seen a lot of experimentation from Russell Westbrook. I think Russell Westbrook's in a tough position where if he doesn't pass, people are going to criticize him. If he continues to take the shots, people are going to say he's not sharing the ball. And I think he's still trying to feel his way around what's the best situation for the Thunder in the fourth quarter.
From a distance, from somebody who doesn't get to see him on a nightly basis, and you get to see bits and pieces on TV when I'm not watching him live like tonight, it feels kind of like a science project where they're trying to figure out what's mm-hmm. working and what isn't. And I give Russ credit for this because I think he knows that, to your point, he's going to get crushed probably no matter what, so long as he doesn't make the shot. But he is in this situation now where, he used to have Durant, but now he's got two guys who have shown that they can do it. So he's got to find ways to make them feel comfortable enough to get those shots down. I was surprised he didn't take that shot tonight, too. I know that he can make it. He's shown that he can. But maybe by passing to Carmelo, maybe in game 5 or 6 or wherever they're at right now, maybe in game 76, these moments help them down the line figure out how they want to make things work. So I don't see any fear in watching certainly Russell Westbrook, but the Thunder as a whole. And the thing that I think gets lost in the shuffle is that Billy Donovan has proven he's a pretty solid coach. Now, I haven't watched him as much on the NBA level, but this is a guy who finds different pieces and can get them in the right situation to succeed. So there's not a doubt in my mind that over the course of 82 games, both he and Westbrook are going to sit down and say, hey, what is best for us? And they'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah, and to me, tonight in particular, the last shot wasn't the issue for me. It's kind of like the way it was in the previous game against Minnesota. The Thunder played better tonight overall than they did in the previous game against Minnesota, but there was kind of a confluence of errors along the way that contributed to this eventual you know, kind of downfall for the Thunder in the fourth quarter. Granted, they didn't make a ton of shots in the last 6 minutes. I think they went like 3 of 14 in the last 6 minutes, and they just need to make more shots in the final period. They got open looks, like Patrick Patterson had an open look in the corner. You know, Steven Adams missed a couple around the rim. Westbrook set him up for a lob, and it went off his hands and out the backboard. Just some clumsy stuff. They were having a hard time corralling balls at the end of the game. You know, Cat was a monster. Jimmy Butler was nails. We'll get to talk about him in a second. But, you know, there was a period in, like, the second quarter where Russell Westbrook was just fumbling the ball all over the place. Like, they were turning the ball – Russell Westbrook turned the ball over 6 times in the first half. He had 4 turnovers in the second quarter where it looked like they were starting to, you know, stretch that lead. Carmelo got hot, hit about, like, 6 points in a row in the beginning of the second quarter. Paul George was cooking in the first quarter. Steven Adams really had a strong first half. But they almost got into, like, this lull where they got up by double digits, and all of a sudden they just start fumbling the ball all over the place. I know it's going to take time for them to put together complete games, but you would have thought that the way that they played against Minnesota in the beginning of the week, they would have came into this game with a little bit more caution in terms of taking care of the ball, doing the little stuff leading into the fourth quarter.
I thought that they would come into this game pissed off.
Yeah, I did too.
And they would have corrected that stuff to the point where they thought, you know, Minnesota has some nice pieces, but they're not a better team than we are. So, yeah, when Russ was going up and down the floor, just kind of taking it easy and throwing the ball over the place, I'm going, is this normal? Because, again, I don't get to see OKC as much as I'd like. But
he was careless. He was careless in the first half.
Yeah, he really was. And, again, like for where they're at, I don't think they fear anybody. And I think they'll correct the issues that they need to. But for a team that has so much high-level talent up front, those are the kind of mistakes you just don't expect to see, especially against a team you just lost to a few days ago.
Yeah, and another thing that really bothered me about the Thunder tonight was they had situations where they'd get defensive stops. There were so many empty possessions, not just with turnovers, but with the types of shots they were taking against a Timberwolves team that has proven through the first 4 or 5 games of the season that their defense is not where it needs to be. Like, the Timberwolves have a long way to go when it comes to defense, particularly those young guys like Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. And the Thunder for a period was getting anything they wanted through Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. And for some unknown reason, coming down in transition, Josh Huston starts jacking threes from the left wing. And it's like, granted, you're open, but like, just, I almost feel like a Paul George contested shot in some instances is better than a Josh Huston wide open three-pointer. And it's like, that's the offense that they want, but I don't know if that's necessarily the guy they want shooting it like 3 times in a row when Paul George is on the other side of the court and he's like on fire. There were some questionable offensive decisions to me from the Thunder in transition.
The devil's advocate part to that
play devil's advocate, sir.
Argument is, if you can't get Huston to take those shots in the second week of the season, then what's going to happen when he's open later on down the line?
That's interesting. But, like, and I've just been watching this guy throughout preseason. That's not his spot. That's the problem with for me. Like, he nails the right angle three-pointer, and he was taking these ones from the left. And granted, he went, like, 1 for 3, but It was like 3 in a row. It was like 3 or 4 possessions in a row. He was coming down and just taking the shot. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, Paul George is just standing over there and he's on fire. Like, it was puzzling to me. And I guess Billy Donovan would say he wants his guys taking those shots in those situations. And who am I going to tell Josh Huston to not take that shot? But sometimes it's puzzling to me that when you have one of the most elite scorers in the league on one side of the floor, you don't at least make a couple of passes to get it to him in an advantageous situation.
Why don't you find more of a reason to get him the ball every time?
It was like one pass, Huston shot.
But you said it, and I think that's what stuck with me. He was wide open.
He was wide open.
Wide open.
And it's like I'm saying, it's hard for me to tell him no, but when it continually ends in an empty possession, I question it. like it becomes like, you know, if he makes three in a row, I'm not saying anything. I'm like, whoa, Josh Hughes is taking open threes and making them. Carry on.
Maybe Josh Hughes can be one of those guys that we were talking about earlier.
I think a lot of people that listen to the Thunder Buddies podcast would like Josh Hughes to be one of those guys.
When I watch that team, though, just like any other young team, and in this case, it's more top-heavy because of who they have star-wise, you've got to find a way to instill the confidence in your younger players. And if Hughes gets those looks, I am sure they're sitting there telling him you got to shoot him and you got to make him over time. So I understand what you're saying. It's part of the balance that they've got to figure out going back and forth with the stars. But if you've got guys who you know have to contribute at some point, I'd rather them figure it out now than trying to be that guy who's making those corner threes later in the postseason.
That's valid. And we every time we get into conversations about decisions and rotations and things like that, you have to kind of rein it back in and say, okay, this is game 5 of 82. we're really picking nits in terms of game 5 of 82, because it doesn't really matter where this team is right now. It matters where they are at the end of the season going into the playoffs.
Right.
Curious thing for me tonight was the situation with Andre Roberson. This is a guy that we've seen start for the Thunder a ton of games over the past three seasons. You know, it's pretty clear around the league he has offensive deficiencies. He's a great defender. Mm-hmm. He's a first-team all-defense guy last year for the first time. But he's gotten off to a really slow start this season. I know you haven't had a chance to see a ton of him, but tonight he wasn't even great defensively. He looked a step slow. He obviously came out, shot an air ball, first possession. He's been missing gimmies around the rim. He ended up with about 4 points, three rebounds. He got a little bit more active after he missed those first couple shots. Just didn't look himself. And Billy Donovan showed that Roberson either wasn't himself or he's kind of trying to try some other stuff by, you know, going to Hughes early, going more to Jeremy Grant and Hughes down the stretch. Roberson didn't play in the fourth quarter. And frankly, it's a fourth quarter they could have used him because Jimmy Butler was cooking. I mean, that's a guy that you would want on a Jimmy Butler in that stretch of the game. So it's curious to me how that's going to develop with Andre Roberson, considering he's been such an important part of the Thunder's defensive presence for the past 3 or 4 years. And we thought that he and Paul George were going to become this just lockdown defensive combination on the perimeter. And there's still plenty of time for that. But early on, that's been one of the most intriguing things about the Thunder so far, is kind of the lack of Andre Roberson minutes. And I wrote about it. I thought that he would have a minutes regression a little, but not to the point to what we're seeing right now where he's getting, I think tonight he got 10 minutes.
I feel like every time I've gone into Oklahoma City the last few years, Roberson's name has popped up as the guy who they want to be, the defensive presence you mentioned, but the bridge as far as, okay, who else can I step up and help Russ? And when you're not getting that production from a guy that you have been counting on for this long, I don't blame Donovan for trying to find some other group that's doing the work. And I would lean on you even more here. Why do you think this guy just has not been able to put it together on a consistent basis to this point?
I think he's having clear confidence issues right now. Because he's always had little instances where he'd miss some gimmies around the rim. You know, Russell Westbrook would throw a great pass to him, and sometimes he'll just miss a gimme. And it's deflating. But, you know, even dating back to last season where he went through his free throw struggles in the playoffs against Houston, I think that was a real, real hard-hitting moment for Andre Roberson in terms of his offensive confidence. I mean, Houston just continually putting him on the line and basically embarrassing him.
Yeah.
To the point to where, you know, Donovan really did his Andre Roberson's confidence a massive solid by keeping him in the game. I mean, that's actually debatable, to be honest. Did he do him a favor by keeping him in the game, or should he have pulled him and saved him that embarrassment? But Donovan will always say he was riding for Andre. He rides for his confidence. Part of it was the fact that he was riding for Andre, but part of it was the fact that he didn't trust anybody else to guard James Harden. where he probably should have.
Catch 22 right there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you might have done more damage by actually keeping him in and his free throws and his confidence completely going into the toilet. And then Robertson's come back and he just hasn't been – he hasn't been anywhere close to where he was at the beginning of that series. Because it's crazy to think about. In that Rockets series, besides Russell Westbrook, Andre Robertson was actually the second best player on the floor for the Thunder. Like, he became
– it is crazy.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And, again, it's another testament to Sam Presti and the Thunder organization to be able to flip this roster the way they have in one offseason. But it was also it was also basically a reflection of how much Kevin Durant's departure had gutted this team. Like, Andre Robertson was your second best player, and he was playing well. I mean, he was doing some of the things he was doing against Golden State in that Western Conference Finals as a screen setter, as a cutter. All right, Nick, we've got our technical difficulties out of the way. The batteries were dying. Let's wrap this thing up. We got a back to back. We can't be spending a lot of time on the Minnesota Timberwolves. But let's wrap it up with a nice Robertson to Jimmy Butler segue. You know, Robertson was a guy who signed in the offseason for, you know, 3 years. $30 million, around $10 million per. And early on, it looks like he's obviously the guy that is lacking confidence with the Thunder, whether it's an injury situation that he's not fully disclosing. I mean, Billy Donovan said that he was available yesterday after he went to the sideline and took off his shoe and apparently had an ankle issue. But the confidence looks like more of an issue to me than anything physically. And you were saying something very interesting that I thought, you know, we should – come back to about, you know, kind of sitting Andre Robertson down and talking to him about this stuff.
If I'm Russell Westbrook and I see a guy I've played with now for a few years and he's having the confidence issues that he's having, I sit down and say, hey, man, we need you. We need you to do more than what you're doing right now. What can we do to put you in a more comfortable setting? And I mean, Russ has to be that guy. I mean, he is the face of this team. He's the one who makes sure that everybody is in the the right setting. And I think if the Thunder want the most out of what they got, Russ has to be even more of that vocal leader. And I believe he can be that guy. And just in listening in to some of his interviews and reading the work that you guys put out on a regular basis, I think he wants to be that guy. I think he wants to be the guy who can rally everybody else around him.
Yeah, and I think there was a positive tonight that kind of speaks to what you were just saying about Russell Westbrook rallying guys and rallying behind Andre Robertson. Even when Robertson was struggling early in the first quarter, Westbrook didn't go away from him. Like, Robertson made a couple of cuts, and he went right back to him. I mean, I think Westbrook has a sense of when guys need the ball, when they need to have their confidence boosted. And I think he gave Andre Robertson every opportunity to do that in the first quarter.
Like the quarterback who sees the receiver drop one early and keeps saying, I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
Be open. Be ready to go. I mean, that's the growth of a leader. I mean, that's the growth of a guy who's seen all the stuff that Russ has seen during his time. So if the Thunder are looking for the fix and the issue, as you noted, is in his head, then Russ has got to be the guy to help get him out of the funk. So I'm curious to see how he responds, not only in these next couple of games, but over the next month here, because I agree with you. In the snippets that I've seen of OKC early, it's just a non-factor. And you can't have that on a team that really needs help from another set of players besides the obvious guys.
Nick, let's end this thing. Everybody, thanks for joining us on the Thunder Bodies podcast. Sayonara from Minneapolis. We will see you in Chicago.